for our time together as we look at God's Word. We're going to be looking at Jeremiah 29. I just want to read a couple verses here as recap. It says, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I've sent into exile, build your houses and live in them, plant gardens and eat their produce." And a little bit later on it says, "But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare there you will find your welfare." Would you pray with me as we turn to think on God's word this morning? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you that you are living and active, that you call us as we are, and that you, through your Holy Spirit, open your word to us. We pray that we would have eyes to see you today, Father, that we would have hearts to believe, to receive you, perhaps as never before. We pray that we would leave as changed people because of our time together with you in your word. Come, Holy Spirit, among us now, we pray. Amen. You can be seated. I wanted to share this and share a little bit this morning, some thoughts and some things that have been rattling around in my head all summer. You were waiting for this, for me to totally unload on you after 3 months of being away. I let you off easy last week. But just share a few thoughts that God has really been placing on my heart over the summer. And it really centers around this passage from Jeremiah 29. One really familiar verse, 29:11. I think many of us are familiar with that. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. That's kind of the more familiar verse out of this chapter. We're going to look primarily at some of the earlier verses, the verses that I shared just a minute ago again here. Really, as something that kept coming back in books that I was reading and quiet time that I had with the Lord, just a sense of importance of who we are, our identity as God's people, and flowing out of that identity, the work, the calling that we have, the great responsibility that we have as God's people here in this place. So you're ready to journey with me. 3 months of things rattling around in my head. I'll give you 20 minutes or so maybe here. Hopefully we'll work this out through the fall and in the coming years together as well. Jeremiah 29:11, I always think it's important whenever we come to a passage of Scripture. You know, it's easy for us just to pull something out of Scripture and drop it into our lives. You know me well enough now. I think it's important that we get the context, that we understand who this passage of Scripture was written to, what's going on here. And so just briefly, well, it's more than brief, actually. It'll be a little while here, kind of explaining this. We see that Jeremiah in 29, it says that this is the word of God to the exiles, to the people in exile. So this is written to God's people who were dislocated. I think that's a good way of thinking about it. People who were dislocated, taken from their homes, taken from their families, taken from their land, carried off into a foreign place, carried off to the city of Babylon, made to serve, made to live there. It was written to a dislocated people. And you might think that's not really too significant. But if you look over the course of the story of God's people, really, from the very beginning of Genesis, we see, we're reminded how important place is to God's people, how important land, how important belonging is. If you were in Bible study this morning, don't answer, don't cheat here. But think back to Abraham, Genesis 12. I'll give you a second to think back that far. Genesis 12, what was one of the core blessings, one of the core promises that God gave to Abraham? Or what were them all? I'll give you a treat or something, I'll find something, if you can name them all. Right, God, okay, I'll help you out. Or if you were here this morning, you can help too. Nobody's going to say anything. Okay, so God promised Abraham that he would be blessed, that through Abraham he would be a blessing to the world, to all nations. He promised Abraham that he would have descendants, that a great nation would come from him. And fourthly, I think importantly for this, for our reading, our understanding of Jeremiah 29, he promises a land, a place. He says, you're not going to wander around, kind of sojourn around, but I will give you a place. I will give you a promised land. And if you're familiar with Genesis and much of the early New Testament, it's really the story of God's people on their way to the promised land. Via slavery in Egypt for a few hundred years, via 40 years wandering in the wilderness, until they get to that place, until they get to that promised land, that land that God gave them that is flowing with milk and honey, the abundance of God, the presence of God. You begin to sense how much more important land is to the people of God than we first give it. You farmers probably appreciate this a little more, maybe. But how important this sense of place, this sense of belonging, this sense of rootedness is for God's people, for the whole of history. And so it's in that context that Jeremiah is given the words of God to speak to the people, speak to this people that were carried off, carried into the great city of Babylon. You don't look awed by the great city of Babylon. It was the greatest city of the day, filled with riches, filled with fame and wonder, and every, you know, kind of trinket, everything you could imagine or want. It was kind of like Saskatoon of Saskatchewan or something. I don't know what's the equivalent here. but it's this great city, this great, powerful, strong city, beautiful city, this beautiful place. And it's in this city that God's people find themselves. It's in this city that Jeremiah writes to God's people, a people in exile, this dislocated people. And we see not only here in Jeremiah, but really throughout the Old Testament, a couple things happen when the people are carried off into exile or when the people get too comfortable with where they're at. A couple things happen, kind of on two polar extremes. That here in this instance, while they're in exile, you have a large group of people that really get consumed by Babylon. They get consumed by the culture, by society, by the trinkets, by the flashy kind of attractive things that the great city has to offer. They get consumed by the worship practices of the Babylonians. They get consumed by the music, by the culture, by the life, the way of life of the Babylonians. They take on their culture. They take on their worship. And pretty soon they begin to forget about God, forget about their calling, what God had called them to be. God had called them, of course, to be a holy people. A people set apart for himself, a people to be a light to the world, a light to the nations. So when they're in exile or people get too comfortable, they begin to look a lot like the city, the people, the world around them, and begin to forget about God. Or kind of the smaller group on the other extreme, it's a group of people that remember God but completely separate themselves from the world, from society, from anyone else. They want nothing to do with anyone other than their core group of people. They want nothing to do with anyone else. You might think that's kind of the preferable option of the two. But again, the holiness that God is calling his people to, it wasn't meant for themselves, it was meant for the world. It was meant to be a blessing to everyone. So I want you to keep those two kind of extremes in mind. You got those? Kind of consumed by the world, consumed by Babylon, forgetting about God, or the other extreme, totally consumed by the things of God and the people of God, kind of that close-knit community, and forgetting about everyone else. This people, this dislocated people, this people that are longing to be in the place where they belong. Now you might be wondering, why am I going on at such length? What does this have to do with me? I'd suggest to you that you and I, really, I think we are a people in exile. You and I are a people in exile. Whose heart, those of us whose trust and hope is in Jesus as our Lord, our Savior, our heart is to be with him. We know that's the promise. We know how that's how the story ends, dwelling with God in the new Jerusalem, the new city. Being with him, being in his presence, living, dwelling with him forever. Our heart is set on where we belong. Hopefully it is. Our heart is set on where we belong. So I think there's lots of parallels between this people of God in exile in Babylon with where we, as God's people, might find ourselves today. People who might feel dislocated as we look around us. Kind of feel like we don't really belong here. This time of waiting that we live in. Who goes to Disneyland to wait in line? Is that what you go to Disneyland for? Or to ride the rides? Right, you pay big bucks so that you can skip the lines, in fact. And I think that's maybe our, you know, mentality. We want to skip ahead. We want to get to the good stuff. You know, skip over all this other stuff in between. We just want to be with the Lord. We want to be with the Lord as he's promised. Jeremiah speaks to that desire. That was the heart's desire of this people in Babylon. It's looking to go home, looking to be home. But the words that God has speaks through Jeremiah, he says quite simply that you are here for a reason. You are here for a reason. And I think by extension, we are here for a reason. You and I are here for a reason and a purpose. The book of Esther would phrase it, you know, popularly, for such a time as this. We're here for such a time as this, in this time, in this place, in this stage of life where you find yourself, you are here for a reason. And even as I say that, I do know that that might be hard to hear. If you're struggling in your marriage, or you're dealing with a chronic illness, heartbreak of betrayal or friendship, struggling maybe just to get out of bed and face the day ahead. It could be hard to hear that you're here for a reason and a purpose. But I know in the heart of my heart, the core of my being, Scripture reminds us over and over and over again that it's our God that holds all things together, that he does have a plan and a purpose in all of life, for each and every one of us. It's one of the things that I've never noticed. Again, Jeremiah 29, kind of probably the most popular chapter of Jeremiah. We can take a poll on that later. What's your most favorite chapter in Jeremiah? I'm guessing there's not going to be any responses, but but probably the most popular chapter anyway. But I've never noticed. Look at verse 7 if you have your Bibles open. Page 656 in the Pew Bibles in front of you if you want to follow along. Jeremiah 29, 11, or 7, excuse me. God says, "But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile. God doesn't say it's by happenstance. He doesn't say, oh, I kind of blinked or I was caught me napping and the enemy carried you off into Babylon. He says, I have carried you off. I've brought you to this place. It speaks to a sense of purpose. Again, as hard as it might be to wrap your heads around, I have brought you to this place. I have brought you to this place. And so I think, really, we can maybe begin to understand or see ourselves as a people in exile. And I think our options of life often look kind of similar to the Israelites, to how they lived, that after a while they were in Babylon in exile for 70 years here at this point. We begin to look a lot like they do. And we can begin to embrace culture, embrace the world, and forget about God. It often happens gradually, I think, as we begin to compromise on things or make adjustments. Forget about God or embrace culture, what society says we should believe, how we should act, what we should think, instead of what God says. Conversely, I think we can go the other extreme of fully embracing the things of God and rejecting everyone else, everyone outside. You know, I think that's what the church, kind of in a bad way, is often known for. Have you ever heard somebody say, I don't want to go to church because it's just, you know, good people, people that have their lives together? Right? Have you heard that? You know, I think that's the perception. You got to have your life together to be a part of what's happening here. You know, to fully embrace God and push away everyone and everything else. But I think there's a third option. There's the third way. That's what Jeremiah is calling us to. Of embracing God and embracing each other. Embracing God and embracing each other. And I'd suggest that's what God is calling us here at Trinity, here in Leader, to do. Embrace God and embrace each other. Because there's work to be done here in Leader. There's work to be done here in Leader. I want to look at verses 5-7 here for the rest of our time. I promised 20 minutes, so I've got another 7 or so. Verses 5-7. The Lord says, build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat their produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease. But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf. For in its welfare, you will find your welfare. Those are the verses that I kept getting caught up on this summer. Because you see, it's not just about biding our time here on earth. You know, the 70, 80, 90 years that we have. But I think really this is the calling that you and I have here in this place, in this time, in our lives together. We're called to be rooted, to be a people established. Not just for our own benefit, but to fulfill God's call on his people from the earliest days. To be a blessing, to be a blessing to the world, that all may know our God. This sense of rootedness, of abiding, this sense of presence, really one of the key words that keeps coming back. And really, that was one of the impetuses, one of the reasons why we took this sabbatical in the first place, because Cassie and I see ourselves want to be here long term. We want to be rooted. We want to be involved and connected in this community, because there is work to be done. There are people that still need to know the love of our God. So Jeremiah tells the people, this people that's longing to get back to their homeland, to where their hearts desire, build houses, plant gardens, get established, be rooted, be a blessing to the city, to the people around you. It's that phrase, seek the welfare of the city, seek the prosperity of the city. And I want to ask you, how do we do that? How do we do that practically? Because hopefully we don't just think about things and never do it. That's not the point of following our God. How do we do that practically? How do we seek the welfare of leader and surrounding areas? How do we seek the welfare? How do we seek to bless those around us? It doesn't have to be big, complicated things. You know, we need to build this new building and bring all these people on staff. And, you know, it doesn't have to be big. It might be. But I think in small, practical ways, it says plant gardens and build homes. It's not big things. What are some of the ways that we could seek the welfare of our town? I think just being present. Being present, being around downtown, talking with your neighbors, talking with people at Subway, wherever you go. Shop local, you know, simple practical things. Tip well. When you go to the cafe after church, everyone knows you came from church. Be generous. Encourage. Come alongside the lonely, the broken. In a place like Leader, we know who they are, where they live. It's not a secret. Bless. I think that key question, are we a blessing? Are we as God's people a blessing to this community? One of the questions that always rattles around in my head is that if this building were gone, if we ceased to meet together as a church, would anybody even notice? Would anyone in Leader even care if the churches just ceased to exist? How can we bless our community? How can we bless our town? We'll hopefully be unpacking this and journeying over the fall. I don't expect immediate answers or anything today. I've had 3 months for this to rattle around in my head. But how can we bless Leader, be a blessing, be established, be rooted here, seek the welfare of it? Jeremiah says, seek the welfare. But secondly, he gives a very practical thing we can do. It says, pray for the city. Pray for, in this case, the enemies, those opposed to God's people. How many of us pray for our town on a daily basis? You don't have to put your hands up, but just check yourself. Do we pray for Leader? Do we pray for the businesses? Do we pray for our elected officials? Do we pray for those in prominent positions in town? It says, pray for the city. Maybe we should pause and just do that right now, since the Spirit's saying that. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we know, we're reminded today that you've brought us here to this place in this time for a reason and a purpose. And you commanded your people to pray for the city, seek the welfare, the prosperity of the place where they found themselves. As we find ourselves in Leader and Prelate and Scepter and the RM and Mendham and wherever we live, we pray for your peace to be present. We pray for your welfare, for your prosperity. We pray your blessing on our businesses, on our homes, on our school, on those who serve us in healthcare and in emergency services. We pray for your hand of leading and guiding to be on our elected officials. We pray for Craig and Darcy, who's here as well, and all those others who are elected officials to lead us. We pray that you would lead them in wisdom, integrity, and strength. We do pray for this community, for those in it. We know, Lord, that your heart is that all would come to know you, to love you, to serve you. We pray for all those who are far from you. We ask for a softening of our own hearts. and that you would be strengthening us to be bold in seeking the welfare of our neighbors, of our community, of the place where we find ourselves. Amen. So God calls us to be rooted, to be established in a place, to seek the prosperity, its welfare, to pray for it. I challenge you this week even to pray for a leader each day. And finally, at the end here, God reminds us through all things, God has a good plan. And so throughout this summer, I've had this thought rattling around in my head. On the one hand, the importance of abiding, of place, but also that God has done a good thing in our midst over 100 years here. God has done a good thing, and he's not done with us yet. He says, I've not forgotten you. I have a good plan for you and the rest of the world. Jeremiah reminds us that as much as we are a people in exile, a people longing to be home with the Lord, we're also a people of freedom who have been given the power and promise of his Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God who dwells with us, the Spirit of God who sends us forth to embrace God, to embrace those around us with the heart of God. And so I challenge you, two challenges as I leave you this week. Think about ways that you can seek the welfare of leader of this community. One practical way, actually do something this week. I'll check up on you next week, or I'll just ask around and see what happened. But do something practically to seek the welfare of your neighbor, of this community, and pray. Pray for me, pray for this church, pray for each other, pray for this community. It's what God has called us to do as we embrace God and each other. Amen.